Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. All right, in this week's episode, I have a cup of coffee with Mari Corona as we discuss a message I received from a sobrino having a difficult time with a very difficult family member. Hey, how are you?
Hey, mamita. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me over. I appreciate it. Yeah, very heavy topic. I saw you send it to me in the email. I was like, ooh, I know that. I can understand that.
Absolutely, same. Absolutely. It's just, that's why I'm so excited. I know we talked about this similar subject previously, so I'm really excited to go over this. I'm glad I got this message and email. I knew this was the perfect topic to talk to you about. So I have my cup of coffee, and I see you have your tea because you're a tea drinker.
Yes, tea drinker. There's nothing that can't be solved with a cup of tea.
Yes, right. A cup of tea or a cup of coffee, either one for sure. Oh. So today I just have what I actually did. I think it's called a cafe mocha because what I did was I mixed my coffee, my butelo, with hot chocolate. So it's like a hot, you marry the hot chocolate with the coffee. Wow. It's so good.
See, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I think I'm going to have to try that. My next question is this though. How jittery did it make you feel afterwards? Because I don't know about you, but if I have coffee, I'm like literally the little Speedy Gonzalez, like the little, like my daughter used to be like, mommy, did you have coffee today? Because I'm literally like, like all over the place, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Actually, no. I think I just have such a tolerance now that I don't really get affected by it. Like just yesterday, I had 3 cups of coffee yesterday. So I was like, and I usually don't. I usually try to keep it to stay healthy, just one cup a day, because, you know, I'm trying to keep good with my doctor. But yesterday I needed 3 today. And I was like, let me try this mix to see how it goes. Because a friend actually told me about it. This is what he does. So I was skeptical, but yeah, no jitters, just deliciousness in a cup.
off recording, we're going to have to share that recipe because it sounds delicious.
I'm going to actually start, well, today is January 16th as we're recording this, but February 1st, I'm going to start posting all of my recipes on my Instagram for everyone.
Yes, so, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm here for anything that we can come across that can be soothing and healing, right?
Yes.
Right? Any tool we can add to our box of self-care, right? And wellness, I'm here for all of it. So I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah. So let's just go right into this message that I got from a listener. Yes, and this is from Carlos in Virginia. Okay. And he says, hola tia, I'm 38 years old. I'm the oldest of 2 in my family. My younger brother is 34. We grew up with a very moody mother. She was also very aggressive and always angry, very easily frustrated. One week I would be her preferred child if she was mad with my brother, and the other week it was vice versa. I know she grew up pretty poor and a survivor of domestic abuse, but she would always say things like, I gave you a house, food, etc., and make us feel like we owe her everything for it. When we lived together during college, it was arguments all the time about everything. My brother says that's just the way that she is, but I can't help but feel triggered every time I even go visit her. How do I deal? That was from Carlos in Virginia. So thank you, Carlos, for sending in that message.
Yes, thank you for sharing your truth. First and foremost, we have to applaud the fact that he's not feeling shameful to share that.
Yeah, right?
First and foremost is the shame that comes in. You and I talked about that heavy when we, mm-hmm. when we first started talking, like the shame we're carrying the burden around, right? That's not right. So yes, let's applaud that for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I could say for me, my relationship with my mother wasn't always, you know, bunnies and rainbows. It was very similar. Like, and she grew up in a very poor type of environment, growing up in Brooklyn, you know, in those times. It was rough time. Like, shit was rough for our parents at that time. Like, I feel like they have unhealed trauma that the children, us, you know, kind of end up being, you know, experiencing it and affected by it a lot. And then it's just like a long cycle of that. But I kind of agree with the brother, you know, I mean, that is just the way she is. I mean, depending how old your mother is, there's some things that can be changed, some things that can't be changed, especially if the other person, whether it's your mother, your father, tia, tio, whoever, do want to change or don't want to change, if they even acknowledge that, if they take ownership of their behavior, right? So if they don't take ownership of their behavior and they're not even aware of it, there's really no change that's going to happen. So the only thing that you can do is change how you react to it. And how, like you said, he said he feels triggered. You're going to have to learn how to not let it trigger you, right?
My take on it is, because I come from a similar situation. My take on it is, yes, absolutely. We have to, as we get older, because we know better, and what I mean by knowing better, we have access to things that our parents and our grandparents didn't.
Right.
So we have more choices, more options. So my take on that is that you have to start coming at these kind of situations with our elders from the perspective that they were only doing the best that they could, what they knew how at the time. Right. So once you make peace with that and you realize, oh, you know, this mommy's way, this is papi's way, Theo's way, whatever, Willa's way, is because that's just what they knew at that time. They weren't being coddled. You know, our parents come from working on farms, maybe some of them, you know, depending if they came from the Caribbean, you know, working in factories. They're not coddlers.
Right.
So they don't know that. To them, loving you is giving you a plate of food. Giving you a roof over your head. So exactly what he wrote down, that's exactly what love is for them, right?
Right.
So once you accept that, once you look at your parents from that perspective, then you can then say to yourself, like you said, now that I know that this is why they are how they are, I can choose to come at it from a different, you know, from a different direction, or I can choose to remove myself. But I think that removing yourself from that so that you don't get triggered is your last option, you know, right? Because once you know better, you can do better. Once you realize, okay, that again, they don't know any other way, then you can come at it from a different perspective. And maybe like reduce your time that you engage with them. You know what I mean? Like if you know, family dinners are too much, right? Because that's a long time to be, right? It's a long time to be in a space with people who are triggering you. Then maybe like, just don't do that. Like just maybe a call, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe just, you know.
Quick visit.
Right, like I don't even want to take Rona into the equation because she's not going to be around forever, you know? But like, just limit your visits. Be like, mommy, I'm going to pass by tomorrow. Tabia, me, or whatever, right? Whatever they do. And then you get there with the mindset, okay, I'm going to be here for 40 minutes, or I'm going to be here for 30 minutes, right? And then at least you know that you're going to work with that situation for 30 minutes. And then you're going to be like, oh, you know, mom, I got to go. I'm sorry. You know, tomorrow I got to get some things done or whatever. And then you know that you made a conscious choice to put yourself in that position so that you can work with that time frame, you know?
Right.
It again, the best thing we could, any of us can do for ourselves is realize that our parents and our grandparents did the best they could with what they knew. They didn't have the tools. They have no concept of what mental illness is. right?
No.
Because yeah. they love to throw that word around. Ay, ese loco, Like, to them, everything is a loco, but it's mm-hmm. not loco. Like, you and I discussed this, too, and we talked about when I shared with you about, my, you know, caring for my grandmother that had Alzheimer's. Ay, la vieja está loca. No, she has a disease.
Alzheimer's, yeah.
Like, she has a disease that's eating away at her brain and her memories, mm-hmm. you know? And again, the ignorance and the lack of education and right. the lack of interest to know more, to put yourself in another position, to ask questions. There's just so much, Maria. There's just so much, right? There's just so much baggage that we deal with. And, you know, especially our communities, our people of color, our people from the islands, everything, you know, it's just a different world for us, you know? And then we get put into this thing where, you know, we try to assimilate to these templates that are not made for us, mm-hmm. that then add to those things, right? Because then you work in a place where maybe your coworkers are great with the grandparents, are great with the parents, right? And then they come yeah. and share that with you, right? They're like, oh yeah, mom and dad. Or like, okay, mom and dad gave me money to put down for a house, right? Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but like my parents couldn't help me with something like that.
No way.
My grandparents yeah. couldn't help me with something like yeah. that. So again, you know, learning to accept what is our history.
Yes.
Learning to accept them. And then you're able to have more empathy. You're able to love them better mm-hmm. and differently, you know? Because when I started to really visualize my grandmother in the Dominican Republic, she would share stories and my mother would share stories about taking those canisters of water, you know, like those big mm-hmm. canisters of water and carrying them from El Rio in top of the head to the house, right? And at first you kind of laugh at that because you're like, what? But like, can you imagine that lifestyle that you have to, in order for your home to have water, you have to carry these big heavy buckets of water in your head. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have children and they got to do the same thing because like water, everybody has to pitch in, right? So like once yeah. I started realizing that and like picturing the hardships my grandmother went through, that kind of helped me. It helped me a lot, definitely, to help with caring for her with her Alzheimer's. But then it also helped me kind of like see, oh, okay, that's why my family is not very loving, because they didn't have the time for that.
Yeah.
You know? So
it's so true. I mean, I think about my parents and my grandparents, and I honestly, I'm like, I question myself. I'm like, I'm pretty sure my grandparents never told my parents, I love you. You know, that's not something that was said. It was, I fed you food today. You know, because I love you. You have a roof over your head because I love you. You have a bed to lay in. Okay, you're sharing that bed with your brother and sister, but I love you, right? Because you have a bed. It doesn't matter if you're sharing it with someone else. You have a bed because I love you. I put that effort in. Because I love you. Like, that's a generation that we're dealing with, and there's no changing that. It's just, it's so funny they were talking about this, because I think it was the other day I was having dinner with my parents, and my mom and I are sitting at the table, and my dad's, how old is my dad? 76. And
different world.
He doesn't eat at the table. He sat at in his chair, and my mom's like, que en tu casa no tenían mesa. He looks over, he's like, no. because you know, my grandmother, you know, she was so poor that they didn't have a table. They sat where they sat and they ate wherever they sat at. Yeah. So, and my parents, actually, they're 20 years apart in age. So my mom is younger. And so there is also a generational difference.
I was going to say a whole different world. Yeah.
So, you know, growing up, you know, with me and my sister, we had, you know, different generations growing up in our house. And it's just so interesting to see how the one generation affected the other and how they're affecting us as this new generation. And now I have my nephew and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, we're learning how to change the narrative for the future. So I feel like what Carlos's brother is trying to say, you know, that's just the way she is. I feel that's his way of trying to change the narrative for him.
And coping with it.
And trying to cope with it, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely, especially, you know, like you said, in our culture, factories, farms. I'm thinking of my parents, the 60s. I mean, there's so much trauma. There's just so much shit they went through.
Yes. When I started taking care of my grandmother, right? Like, so, like, one example, one day I'm there, hands-on, because, you know, again, like I said, when someone has anything that's a debilitating situation, dementia, Alzheimer's, literally, they are babies. So I addressed my grandma as my second baby. I have a 25-year-old daughter, and my grandmother was my second baby until she transitioned 3 years ago, right? And super protective of my grandmother. So, like, let me tell you, talk about, like, why are you not messing with, like, listen. So it was a traumatizing time for me, because it's a lot to deal with, you know, medications and doctors, is a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So one particular day I'm there with her and I'm cleaning out her closet. I'm like, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff going on, clearing out. Maria, there was so many house dresses. You know how they wear those house? There were so many house dresses, brand new, beautiful little house dresses with these beautiful little flowers and just different designs that, you know, her kids have bought her throughout the years that were just in the back of the closet,
Yeah.
And I said to her, vieja, ¿y tú este vestido? ¿Por qué usted no se lo pone? Dice ella, no, lo tengo ahí para un día de emergencia. I have it there for a day of emergency. Mm-hmm. I said, vieja, hoy es un día de emergencia. ¿Para qué usted lo está guardando? Si usted lo está guardando pensando that I'm going to use that, because I used to talk to her English and Spanish, even though she didn't know English, but like I would just like throw it in there. So basically I said to her, if you think that this is going to be for us, none of us are going to ever wear this.
Right.
So what I implemented with the house, with her home attendants moving forward from that day, after I cleaned everything out and I was just like, we're throwing all this crap out that she's not going to use. I told the home attendants at that time, I said, every day you take a new one out, and every day after you help her shower, you help her get dressed, you help her do her all pretty, whatever, you put on one of those new ones. Every day. I want her to enjoy one of those new ones. I don't care if she even remembers it. I don't care whatever. She's going to wear it. Mm-hmm. She's going to know what it's like to have something new and pretty every day. Right? Because who's she saving it for?
It's so true.
You know, like who are you saving it for? I was the only person ever in my grandmother's life to put lipstick on her, red lipstick, Maria. I was like, yeah, come on, we're going to put on some lipstick on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, because again, they didn't have access to that. They didn't know anything about that. Everything is like, no, for the kids, like you said, for the kids in their own way. But the kids are waiting for a hug, right? Or a kiss, right? Or like maybe like a new toy or something, but that's not what they can do for us, right?
Right. Yeah. Because they weren't even taught that. It wasn't expressed to them. And you know, it's so crazy. And I think of my grandmother, who she was like 90. She was like a walking history book.
Oh wow.
Right, like she went through all these different things that we learned in history, like, and I realized it. I was like, holy shit, my grandmother was 20 years old during this time, my grandmother was X years old at this time. And then I think about how old, you know, me at the 20 years old, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do in college, like, you know, it's completely different. Yeah. I had a job, I didn't have to worry about exactly. Yeah. You know, I could go out and buy new outfits whenever I wanted.
Listen, my grandmother, and you know what? One of the saddest things about us, and you know, our age, right, is that we don't, because we are doing what we're doing, and we live in such different times that some of us may not be even. Like you just said, your grandmother, you know, so walking history, right? I unfortunately did not take advantage of when my grandmother may have been able to share these stories, right? Like I wasn't mindful of that.
Right.
And appreciative of what she could have, you know, gifted me with, right? Because my grandmother was born in 1923. So she was around Hitler time, right? Like,
yeah, mine too.
And Trujillo, of course, and just, you know, whatever, World War, whatever, and the civil rights and all these things. And I'm like, a plethora of information, right? And a plethora of goodies that she had that she could have sprinkled on me, right? Before she became ill. And I didn't take advantage of that. Right? Yeah. Because my grandmother was around with Hitler. Like, what?
I know, right? I know. I'll never forget the stories that my grandmother would tell me about Hitler. And I would be like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, these past 4 years, like I was immediately like triggered, and I would remember a lot of the things that she would say. And, you know, these past 4 years in this country, I was like, oh my God, you know, it was like, I would feel fearful that we would go down that road again.
Right.
You know, so it was just
crazy stuff that just happened at the Capitol, right? And it's not crazy because that's just dumb being dumb. That's just dumb being dumb. Yeah. If you're honest about it, that's just dumb being dumb. You take your phone out, you take your camera, you videotape it. And whenever the conversation about mental health issues and racism and, you know, inequality come up, you pull out your little video and you say, look, because all I tell people right now is you can't be shocked and surprised about that. What you need to say to yourself is, had it been people of color, there would have been so much carnage there. There would have been so much bloodshed. There would have been so much tragedy. Yeah. So let's not feel sad and whatever. It is what it is. They're showing you who they are. Mm-hmm. That was white privilege,
yeah,
to its finest.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. It's so true. You know, it's just, it's interesting. You know, we started off talking about, you know, aggressive, angry parents.
Right.
Where we look up to our leaders for our country, we had aggressive, toxic leader for the past 4 years. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and honestly, what I did, I really did take myself away from the situation of not watching the news, not watching TV, taking myself away. And that's just kind of the same thing. You know, if you have like a parent like this, or, you know, abuela or tío, whatever, you have to take care of your mind, take care of your peace, take care of your spirits. And sometimes it's even, you know, if it's your mom, your dad, you know, your abuela, whatever. Yeah, you love them, but you can still love them from far in a way.
Maria, right? You know how I feel about that.
Yes, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to love them from far.
That's loving yourself. And again, I'm a strong advocate about self-care and women in self-care, because I cannot give to you what I don't have, mm-hmm, right? So again, going back to the question we got in the email, Carlos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to him, your mother cannot give you what she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
If she is depleted, what, as a younger mom raising her children, let's go back to the younger Carlos mom raising her children with limited resources, with whatever personal traumas may be going on in her marriage, in her relationships, in her family house, whatever, like she's a human being, right? She's a human being outside of being your mother.
Yeah.
And she's dealing with all these things. And then you want her to come to you from a loving place. She is depleted. She is exhausted. She doesn't have anything to give, right? And then it's almost like she becomes a little bit kind of bitter, unwillingly, like she doesn't really, you know, she doesn't really want to, but she becomes a little bit kind of bitter because like she can't take care of herself, because whatever she does have, she has to give to you. So then when you come at her from a place of like being almost like no le da la gracia. Like, you're not grateful, you know, that she gave you a plate of food. You know, like, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And again, you know, it's history after history after history of these things.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we are blessed today, like I said earlier, to have the tools and to know, to have the know-how.
Yep. And that's the blessing, to be able to use them.
Yep,
to use those tools and a know-how to change the narrative for the future generations.
Yep. So, you know, in Carlos's case with the relatives, yes, I do respect the presentation of, oh, that's just how she is. We all have the ability to change. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe if a conversation can be had, that's another thing we talked about too, right? Like, the conversation. Yeah. A conversation can be had where you can address that. Mm-hmm. And once she's made aware of it, she can say, hi, mijo, I'm so sorry. Again, she can share her journey. And then when she shares her journey, you guys can be like, wow, mommy, we didn't even know that, right?
Right.
Because, like, now you're looking at your mom and dad from a different lens. You're like, wow, okay. Because that's another thing. Parents don't really talk about their stuff, right?
They don't tell their story.
I raised my daughter so opposite of what I was raised like. Of course, you know, like, the core values I took away, but everything else I was like, absolutely not. It's so basura. Like, we're not doing that. My daughter knows my history. My daughter knows Mari before Mari became Erica's mom.
Yeah.
She knows her father. She knows Erickson before Erickson became Erica's dad. So she knows our history. She knows our story. She knows our journey. There's no secrets there. There's no shame there, you know, because, like we said earlier, we do the best we can with what we know at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe if in his family they decide, let's have this conversation and see what comes out of it, then they can make a better, you know, even adjust to it even more accordingly. You know, and right. not just say, oh, that's just, you know, how she is or whatever, because it's almost like too dismissive. You're making an assumption about her, right? Like, let's think about it. You're making an assumption about her. You don't really know.
Right.
Yeah. So I think conversations are very healing. I think, you know, that's why I'm in the creative, you know, that's why I'm a photographer. That's why I'm a writer. I think creative is such a healing form, you know, cooking, you know, cooking for our parents is therapeutic, right? Because our moms love to cook. And I don't know about your house, but my mom would cook like if there was 27 people coming over.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
Right? Like, oh my gosh, so much food. But like, now that we think about it, maybe that was their therapy. Maybe that was their zoning out, you know, maybe that was their wine glass that some people, right? Maybe some people had their wine glass. Our parents had, let me get into the kitchen and cook.
That's so true. Because when I was in nursing school and started working in nursing, like, I started taking up baking to help me. It was like a form of meditation, like to bake and to create, and you would feel so much better afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's just so true. And it's so funny because just today I posted on my Instagram, creativity is God acting through you or speaking through you. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a healing process, being creative, and which brings me to what you do. So tell everyone what you do, and also where to contact you.
Right. So I am a photographer and writer who uses my medium to inspire, manifesting your life, in the way that you see it. So I empower, motivate, and inspire through my images and words, and encourage healing through conversations of that creativity. So just peeling away the layers, you know, when I'm my healing is when I write, when I share my journey, my experiences of trauma. So for me, I wanted to be a National Geographic photographer. And when I said that to my mother, she said, eso no, tú no vas a ganar dinero con eso. Búscate un trabajo. Mm-hmm. So right there, boom, my dream is shut down.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So of course I did life or whatever. And then I got iPhone 5. I think it was 2012. And I was like, F everybody, I'm gonna do whatever I'm gonna do. And that's how I just started in my photography and writing at the same time. So those two things were very healing for me because I was carrying around a lot of family curses, a lot of generational traumas, like just a lot. I was a lot of baggage. And, you know, and also during that time, again, like I commented earlier, I was dealing with my grandmother. You know, I was given the task to initially take care of things financially, but then I realized, no, I got to really like dig. I got to like really put myself in the trenches and take care of her. Like that's my child. Mm-hmm. So that was also something that I had to be healing through because Alzheimer's is horrible. I would not wish that journey on anyone. It's very painful. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very painful, very traumatic, very sad. It's just, but it was loving at the same time because I got to connect with my grandmother on a different level. Mm-hmm. So I commented to you this before that if I had to do it again, I would.
Right.
Because that's my viejita right there, man. You know, mm-hmm. like, listen, I'm so glad I was able to be there. So yes, I'm a strong advocate about health and wellness, mental health for women. People could catch me on Instagram. That is one of my favorite mediums to use. I don't like social media very much. Mm-hmm. I am aware and accepting that us, right, we have to use this because this is our medium, right? This is what we want to do. We want to help others and we want to do that. And the access to it is through these tools. So I have chosen Instagram as my preferred because I really am anti-Facebook and all that other stuff. So you could catch me living in Mommywood on Instagram. Visions by Madi is my website for my photography. You can add a link here to my photography, which is mar_y_cielo 925. So it's Mar y Cielo. So it's ocean and sky.
Right.
Because my name, my given name is Maricela.
Love it.
And for many years I didn't, you know, certain people butcher our names, right? Mm-hmm. So it was again traumas. See, talking about the traumas. For so many years, I was traumatized by people butchering my name. My name is Maricela. It's not an ugly name. It's a beautiful name for our culture, right? Mm-hmm. But because it was so butchered as a child, I was like, oh, no. So I was like, Mari. And then they couldn't even say that. So they would call me Maria. Listen, it was just a lot. So when I did my Instagram for my photography, I was like, I'm going to embrace my name. So my name is Maricela, which is, land, ocean and sky. So I was like, Mar y Ciela. So 925. So they could catch me there. And just here to like really spread the word about healing in our families, get rid of the guilt,
yeah,
get rid of the shame. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We all, everyone on this planet carries trauma from our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Everyone on this planet carries addiction, mental health, everything mm-hmm. touches us in one way, shape, or form. So
absolutely,
we, the first and foremost, forget about that shame. Share your truth. Show up as your authentic self. You know?
Absolutely. Amen to that. Well, this was great. This was amazing having you on here.
Thank you for allowing me to join you today. This was such a great topic because I'm so passionate about that one.
Yeah, me too. I'm myself going through the same healing journey. So I'm blessed to have you part of this and having this podcast as a part of my journey, and listeners also for being a part of it and being able to share this and hopefully, you know, allow other people to know that they can do the work as well.
This is
so thank you.
This is a beautiful platform that you've provided for all of us. And I thank you. I'm so grateful for what you have to offer for us because our communities need more of you. We need more of you. We need more conversations. right? Mm-hmm. We need more conversations, more safe spaces to come.
We need to talk about it.
And talk about it. So thank you, Maria, for this wonderful opportunity to come and join you. And thank you for having this beautiful, safe space.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening. And until next time.
All right, let's move on to the tarot message of the week. This week's tarot message of the week, we have the Weaver card, the 14th card in the Major Arcana. If in the traditional tarot, it would be the Temperance card. As usual, I will have a photo of it on the Instagram page, so be on the lookout for that. So this week, we are being asked to be patient, stay calm, manage and control our emotions. Don't let others affect our emotions. Remember, he who angers you conquers you. Don't stress the small stuff. Just keep weaving. Just keep going. Just keep doing your work. Keep living your best life. And before you know it, you'll have a beautiful tapestry at the end of it. And that was the tarot message of the week. Thank you so much for listening, Somebody Knows. Please remember to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. Every Saturday, I host a free meditation session on Instagram Live, so make sure to check out for that. You can also buy a Thea cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Thea Maria. And as always, remember, tu tía loves you, siempre pa'lante, y portate bien.